Good evening. There are new affirmations out there for anyone who wants them.
I'll pass them out.
Oh, that's nice.
As usual, I have good news for you. And the good news tonight is you are innocent. I know that all the time, we are brought up to believe that we were born into sin, that we were already something wrong with us when we were born here, that we sinned against God or we sinned against this, that, or the other thing. But I'm here to tell you that you are innocent, that this thing that we call God always considers you completely innocent. So the only thing that's happening is it is your mind telling you that you are holding something against yourself. We can change that because the universe holds nothing against you. God holds nothing against you. God always considers you innocent. God always considers you the beloved in whom he is well pleased. But our teachings and our society and the world outside wants to instill in us that we were born into some type of sin and that we were already sinners when we got here to this plane of action. That is absolutely not true. So if you have any of that residual stuff going on, please get rid of it. And women usually have more than men because women are taught that they caused the whole thing by enticing Adam to eat the apple. And this is voted on every year by the Southern Baptist Convention if they are going to remove that. And every year they vote to say that it was the woman's fault, that she caused the sin. That is not true. That is not true at all. All of Genesis is a Babylonian fable. And all of Genesis is an allegory that's going on. We were never, ever kicked out of the Garden of Eden. We became not innocent, they say, because we ate from the tree of knowledge. When we know too much about something, we decide to make it a duality. And we start to see the good in things, and we start to see the bad in things. This thing that we call God only sees good. It's impossible for God to see bad, because in the mind of God, there is no duality. That is a position that we take here on this plane of action with our finite minds. We decide that if there's good, there has to be bad. And that is not true at all. Does anyone know why that is not true? Well, I will tell you why that is not true. That is not true because all there is God. All there is God. There's nothing outside of God. And bad would have to be outside of God. So there can be no thing as bad. We interpret it, and we take a position on that, and we see a duality. But that's our finite mind doing that. That has nothing to do with the mind of God. In the mind of God, we are innocent. We are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. So if you have any residual things from your childhood or from other brand name religions that you happen to have grown up in, change your mind about that and see yourself as the magnificent beings that you are and find that magnificence inside of you. Find it. We cannot sit or stand and say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then think that we are sinners or that we are not innocent. Duality is always in the finite mind, never in the infinite mind. That would be an impossibility because God is all there is. God is all there is. There is nothing outside of God. Nothing exists outside of God. When we see bad on this plane of action, it is because we have taken a position about that. And yes, we can say that murder is bad, that wars are bad, that this is bad, that that's bad. But we are causing those realities. God is not causing those realities. God only causes the reality of good, of innocence, of love. Any of the other stuff that you see, any duality that you see of any type, is man-made. We have war, so we have peace. There's always peace in the mind of God. That's all the mind of God is pure peace. It does not see the opposite. We as human beings see the opposite. So, in the mind of God, there is no duality, and there are no opposites whatsoever. And when you can do that with your own mind on this plane of action, you will see all the difference in the world, in your life, when you no longer have to compare things, when you can see everything as perfect, when you can see that this thing that we call God only creates perfection, then what we do with it and how we perceive it and what position we take on it is what causes the duality. Because no two people see things exactly the same way. But God sees everything the same way. Always with love. Always with compassion. Always with understanding. So remember that you are innocent. You're innocent of anything that happened in the past. I know many people like to say that they are not innocent because of the crucifixion of the man called Jesus. Don't take that upon yourself. You weren't there. You have no idea what happened. Why would you punish yourself for something that happened over 2,000 years ago and that you had nothing to do with whatsoever? Nor did you have any control over that whatsoever. The control you have now is not to do that to yourself or to anybody else. So consider yourself innocent. Consider yourself innocent. And you'll see all the difference in the world. You will learn to like yourself. Then you will learn to love yourself. When you see yourself as pure consciousness, as pure consciousness. And we all make mistakes. The idea is not to live in that mistake. To notice that mistake and say, geez, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to keep making that mistake. Mistakes are really instant karma. Because they immediately tell you that something is wrong. And as soon as you have a mistake, you can correct it. Now, if you didn't recognize mistakes, wouldn't that be awful? You'd just keep making the same mistake. You wouldn't know that it's a mistake. But it's a wonderful little gift that was given by this creator, the idea that, oops, that was a mistake. But the world likes to tell us, once we make a mistake, there's something wrong with us, we're no longer innocent, and we have to live in that mistake. This teaching, this metaphysical teaching, teaches you that you can create again, that you do not have to live in any mistake you made. And out there in the world, we hear many expressions in race mind, which tell us that we have to live with our mistake. And the biggest one that I heard all my life was, when I was growing up, you made your bed, now you must lie in it. You made your bed, now you must lie in it. So from now on, if that comes through your mind, say to yourself, I don't think so. I'm going to remake the bed. And just remake your bed. You do not have to live in any mistake that you think you have made. You do not have to live in it. God is not holding that against you in any way. Because God always sees you as innocent and always holds you in the highest of esteem. Always holds you in the highest of esteem. And that is the good news. And I think it's wonderful. Now, let's talk a minute about race mind, or what I like to call race mind alerts, and see what's going on in the world outside. When I use that term, the world outside, it means the collective consciousness. It means the consciousness of the race and what the race is doing and what the race is thinking at the present moment. And the race mind is always going to deal with duality of some sort. And race mind is always going to be telling you that you are wrong. Always going to be telling you that you are wrong. That is the way the world keeps you in your place. It likes to do that, and it uses every device it can think of. The biggest device it uses is fear. It loves to make people fearful. I was driving along and I saw a poster for some movie. And it shows little scenes, or three little scenes going across there. And it says, I think the one is like seduction, then torture, and then elimination. And this is a movie that they want everyone to go see. Why does race mind always want you to see these horrible movies instead of a good movie, something where you could learn something wonderful about yourself, instead of saying, well, that's the way humans are. That's the way humans are. Humans are cruel. Humans do this and that to each other. That's complete race mind. Don't buy into that. Yes, there are people out there doing that. But if you buy into it, you are helping to create that. When you can see yourself as a marvelous, wonderful expression of God, then you don't have to have all that other stuff going on in your mind where you think that people are awful. There's another movie out there, and I don't know the title of it, but the little phrase that runs across the thing is, a murderer lives next door to you. A murderer lives next door to you. I have 24 people in my unit that I live in, the condominium. I don't think any of them are murderers. Nor do I want to think that my next door neighbor is a murderer. But the world wants to tell you that all the time. The world wants to tell you that there's always someone or something out to get you. Out to get you. And they beat that into us all day long. There's somebody out there to get you. There's something out there that's going to get you. There's nothing out there to get you. The only thing out there is God. The only thing out there is love itself. And when we see something different from that, we are living in duality. We are seeing the other side. don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. Make up your mind that you're a wonderful human being, and so is everybody else. And there is nothing out there to get you, that you live in a universe that is safe and a universe that absolutely supports you in everything you want to do. This plane of action that we live on, this planet that we call Earth, is not a hostile place. Is not a hostile place. You want a hostile place? Go to the moon. Go to Mars. See how well you do there. This is not a hostile place. Not. Here in Southern California, it's quite easy for us to be able to look around and know that we have never been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. We live in the Garden of Eden here. We have wonderful weather, wonderful things grow here, flowers, trees, everything that we need is put here for us. So don't allow yourself to think that you were ever kicked out, or that this thing that we call God is punishing you in any way. God never punishes you. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God. And God is not about ready to punish itself. Therefore, God is not going to punish you. Our thinking, our little finite mind, is the thing that punishes us. And we can stop that. We have the power to stop that type of thinking. It does you absolutely no good, and it will not get you where you want to go. The whole idea of being manifest as humans is to learn to love ourselves and to learn that this universe absolutely supports us because we are one with it. We are one with the universe and God, and it is not out to get us in any way. So whenever you hear on the television, the radio, the news, or friends that are telling you how horrible things are and that something is out there to get you, know that you are not hearing the truth. And look them square in the face and say, I am so glad I am not living in your universe. They are making that. You do not want that for yourself. You can choose any reality you wish to live in. And you do that with your thinking. You do that with your thinking. And what we are trying to do is change our minds so that we know that we are totally lovable, that we are worthy, and that we are totally deserving, and that we matter. That we matter. So with that, let's do our little matter game. I know you haven't done this one. Are we ready? I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yay!
That
was
nice.
You need that. You need a stretch. Do that for yourselves every day. Know that you matter. Know how much you matter to this thing we call God. And then know how much you matter to yourself. So that you start to take care of yourself. And so that you start to give yourself permission to have the things that you would like to have. give yourself that permission. And when you really know that you matter, these things will automatically start to come to you. Because we are all living in the law of attraction. And the more we learn that we matter, that we're lovable, that we're deserving, the more will come in to our lives. It just works that way. Rhoda has a wonderful expression. She says, when I'm not loving myself, nothing happens. When I'm not loving myself, nothing happens. Meaning, when you're not loving yourself, things don't come into your life. The phone doesn't ring with great news. You don't feel happy. Nothing happens when you don't love yourself. When you start to love yourself, you allow this thing that we call God to work in as and through you. You start to become a vessel, and a more appropriate vessel for this thing that we call God or cosmic power, call it anything you want, to be able to clearly work through you, to run through you. And it's done with learning that you are a magnificent human being, that you are an individualized expression of God, and that you have a magnificence inside of you that wants to come to the forefront. We all have that, and each and every one of you have felt that in your life. I call that the divine nudge, because you're nudged a little bit, and you can't quite figure out what that is, but you can feel a little nudge because that magnificence wants to come out. It wants to come out. That's what we are here for, to allow that magnificence to come out so that everyone can see it. And when we do that, we give everyone permission to allow their magnificence to come out. And once we realize that we're magnificent, we stop comparing. We stop complaining that somebody else has something that we don't have. Because when we have our magnificence, when we feel our magnificence, we are whole, complete, and perfect. We can sit in that magnificence or in that presence of God and feel totally fulfilled, totally fulfilled. So that we don't feel that we are not enough, or that we are less than. Because there's no such thing. There is no such thing. We are all equal. We are all equal. We all matter to God. And God would be incomplete without each and every one of us. That God needs us. That God wants us. So you have to realize that. And each and every one of us has something very special to offer, very special to give. No one has not been given gifts. We just fail to unwrap them. And we start to compare because we think somebody's smarter than we are, somebody's more talented than we are, somebody is more creative than we are. We all have those qualities within us because God is all potential. Therefore, we are all potential. And we take that potentiality and we make it manifest on this plane of action. It's a gift that we are given. And we use that gift to bring into our lives what we want. So remember that. There is no such thing as a special person because we are all special. God does not show favorites. God does not show favorites. I said last week, either in this class or the one I'm teaching now in Pasadena, Race Mind and Brand Name Religions have taught that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. That is complete twaddle. Complete twaddle. We are all begotten sons and daughters of God. All of us. And we have the potential in us to become Christed the same way that Jesus did. We have that potential in us. And we can choose to use that potential and to allow it to grow in us. So don't ever think that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, or Jesus was the only one that was capable of doing the things that he did when he was on this plane of action. Jesus himself said, "You can do this and greater things." You can do this and greater things. But that goes right out the window with Race Mind, and certainly right out the window with brand-named religions. So don't allow yourself to think that way. Think only the highest and best thoughts about yourself. Think only the highest and best things about yourself. Loving yourself is the highest form of worship you can give God. And when I use the term worship God, God does not need worship. But we elevate our consciousness when we worship God. But God does not need it. Nor does worshiping God change God's mind. God doesn't look down and say, "Oh, that's very nice. Now you've worshipped me for 30 days, therefore you're going to get what you want." Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. But when we worship, we bring something out from inside of us. We bring something out from inside of us. And we start to see our own magnificence. We start to see that. And it's wonderful. Okay? So, Race Mind. Be careful. Nothing is out there to get you. Nothing is out there to get you. So, with that, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to affirm what this thing called God or the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know perfectly well that I am one with God. And I allow that power, that magnificence, to come forth in my life so that I can draw to me only good. And right here and right now, I am drawing all the abundance and prosperity and money to me. I am opening my mind, I am opening my heart, and I am opening my whole being so that every channel in the universe is available to me. So that I can have money freely circulating in my life and always have a divine surplus. And I allow this to be so, and so it is. For the young man that hasn't been here before, the title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. So we do talk about money in here. I talked about money once in a class when we were at the other place, and every time I did it, two older people that were had dropped in that night cringed. And on their way out, I heard them say, well, they would never come back, because people are not used to somebody saying, you can have money, and money is good, and money is God, and money is God in action, and money is freedom. That's what money is. Money is merely a concept, people. It's merely a concept. And when you get a different idea about money, more money will come into your life. Grace Mind again wants to tell you that money is scarce. Money is not scarce. There's plenty of money. When there's not enough money, they just print more. They just print more. Money is just a concept. So realize that it is always freely circulating in your life, and that you can have what you want. How many people remember when you were a child, when you asked for money and your parents said, what do you think, money grows on trees? Money grows on trees. We can't do that. No, money does not grow on trees. But money grows in your consciousness. And when you stretch your consciousness and realize that you are worthy and deserving and lovable, money will come into your life. Money will come into your life. Money should never be a problem. It should never be an issue in your life. We're not here for that type of thing. Grace Mind wants to tell you that it's difficult. It wants to always get you entangled and ensnarled in money problems. Because a great deal of people make a great deal of money when you are in trouble. Because you have to pay interest. And they love that. And they want to get that from you. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. We have to use money on this plane of action. That's how everything is run. But learn how to use money correctly. How to think about money correctly. And allow this universe to show you ways to get money in your life. To get money in your life. How many people here are still doing the affirmations? All my bills are paid on or before time. Yes. And are they doing that? Yes. If you start that affirmation, you will see that it works every time. How many people are still writing, God bless and multiply this money quickly? Yes. And this, do you not have money? Yes. I've been doing that for over 30 years, and I have never run out of money. And I have been out of work, and I still have not run out of money, because I allow every channel in the universe to be open to me. I never go to the mailbox without saying a check will be in there. I never go to the mailbox looking for bills. Never go to the mailbox looking for bills. Because what will you find? Bills. Go to the mailbox looking for checks. And you will discover the checks will be in your mailbox. And they will come from here, there, and everywhere. From places you don't even know about. From places you don't even know about. And from people that you don't even know. And it's wonderful. So it is always freely circulating in your life. You just have to change your mind about it. And not allow the world to tell you that you have to work very hard for money. Working hard never produced anything but perspiration. Working smart, stretching your consciousness to know that you are worthy of that money, you will start to receive that money. How many people go out on a job interview not knowing what they want their employer to pay them? And when they at the interview, the guy says, "How much do you want?" And you sit there sort of blankly thinking, "Oh, didn't give that a thought." You should always have a figure in your mind of what you want and what you want to make. Always have that figure. How is the universe going to fill in for you if you don't have a mold already in your mind for it to fill? So if you want to make six figures, start seeing six figures in your mind. Write it down every day what you want, so that you're impressing your mind. And when you impress your mind, you're impressing the mind of God. And then ideas will come. Things will set themselves up for that money to come to you. It works that way.
As a new exercise I learned, in secret I believe it is, when I get my bank statement every month in the mail, I add commas and zeros, comma, zero, next to the ending balance.
Yes. Yes, so that your mind sees that. So that it's seen. You have to start thinking of those things. If you don't, you're not going to get where you want to go. You're not going to get where you want to go. You have to know your own worth. You have to know your own worth. So think of those things. And never be afraid to tell somebody what you think you are worth. That all they can say is, "We can't pay that right now." But never undersell yourself. Which so many people do. They undersell themselves because they think that they are not worthy. And you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, lovable, and that you matter. So when you ask for money, it comes to you. But you ask for it, and it comes to you. Many people are afraid to ask for money. Because I think when you were a child, it was difficult to ask your parents for money. So you see your employer and everybody else as your family, as your mother or your father. And you're afraid to ask for money. Many people work on jobs for years and years and years, trying to get up enough courage to ask for a raise. To get up enough courage to ask for a raise. And to say, "I deserve this raise because I've done this, 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 and this. And I know that I am worthy and deserving of this money." And when you're able to do that, there isn't an employer that won't say you're right. That won't say you're right. Now you have to do the work. You have to know that you're worthy. Remember that. We're only stretching our consciousness here. We're stretching our consciousness about ourselves so that we see ourselves in a bigger way. So that we see ourselves in a bigger way. Okay? Tonight's topic, I'm trying to get around to it. Tonight's topic is forgive or forgiveness. You know, we hear all the time about you must love, you must love. Well, it's very hard to love unless you have forgiven. And it's very hard to love yourself unless you have forgiven yourself for all the so-called mistakes that you think you have made. And we love to keep a laundry list in our head, don't we? And we drag it out when something happens and we read over that laundry list again. Get rid of any of that stuff that's going on in your consciousness or in your thinking. I have a new thing that I do. I press the delete button, and I say, don't ever show me that again. Don't ever show me that again. Why do you want to keep bringing those things up? There's nothing you can do about it. It will not change. It will not change. So don't be punishing yourself for those things. You have to forgive yourself. And you have to forgive yourself moment by moment, day by day. Don't let things pile up on you. I was out with a friend on Sunday night, and her mother is going to turn 92. Her mother at the present moment is in a wonderful facility and likes to play bridge. Well, she got angry at the one woman who she was playing bridge with. So now she won't talk to that woman, and she won't play bridge with that woman. And the daughter says to her, Mother, how long are you going to keep this grudge? She said, till I go to my grave. Till I go to my grave. Complete race mind, people, and you hear that from people. I'm going to hold that till I go to my grave. What good is that doing you? It's not serving you. It's certainly not getting you where you want to go. And it doesn't make you an attractive person, does it? Do you want to be around somebody that holds a grudge and is going to keep that grudge till you go to your grave? So if you're holding any resentments or any grudges about yourself, don't hold them till you go to your grave. It won't help you. It won't help you in the least. And if you think that death is going to improve you, forget it. Death never improved anything. You're just dead. That's it. The body. That magnificence that I talked about earlier is still there. The magnificence is still there and will continue throughout eternity. Will continue without eternity. You can get rid of fear in your life by realizing all fear, by the way, stems from the fear of death. All fear stems from the fear of death, that something is going to be taken from you. That something is going to be taken from you. Your life can never be taken from you. This body, this sack of water that we live in, will go by the wayside. But we will not go by the wayside. We will continue throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Why is that? Well, scientifically I can tell you that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. It can only change form. Spiritually I can tell you that all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. And God is not dead and never will be. So you are not going to die. You are going to continue. And your consciousness is going to continue. So stretch your consciousness now about yourself. See yourself as the magnificent person that you are. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to all of a sudden decide that you're wonderful. Don't waste that time like that. Know that every day. Get up in the morning. How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful me every day? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. You have to know that you're wonderful. You have to know that. You think a stranger is going to come up to you on the street and look at you and say, wonderful, wonderful you? I don't think so. They're going to come up and tell you all kinds of horrible things. You have to know that you're wonderful. And you have to start your day with that. That you're a wonderful human being. And then go out and make that so. With whatever job you have. Especially actors. When you're going out to auditions and so forth. Know how wonderful you are. and walk in there with that attitude that you're wonderful. The casting agent will love it. The casting agent will love it. We need more of this. We need more of this in our lives. So forgive yourself, and certainly forgive yourself from the past. Forgive your parents. I know so many people that are 70 and 80 years old, and they still have never forgiven their parents. They still are holding some grudge against their parent. Your parents did the very best they knew how to do. They did the very best they knew how to do. So we never take anything personal that your parents did to you. You have to know that they would have done that to anybody. They didn't single you out to do it just to you. They'd have done it to anybody. But you forgive them for that. If you don't forgive your parents and don't forgive yourself, how are you ever going to get yourself into a loving, caring, sharing relationship? It's an impossibility, because you cannot hate your parents and love somebody. It will not work. It will only work for a little while. And then you will start to project all that hatred onto your partner. And you will start to take that out on your partner. So forgive your parents. Forgive yourself. Forgive everything that happened in your life. So what in the seventh grade you didn't get the A? Forgive that teacher. And forgive yourself. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. The difference is made when you can forgive those things. Then you have a clear mind again. Then you can see things differently. And you can see yourself differently. Everything always boils down to, what do you think about yourself? How are you holding yourself in your own mind? We all want somebody else to tell us that they love us. Have we told ourselves today that we love ourselves? Have you said, "I really love you" today to yourself? Or are you waiting for somebody else to do that for you? Don't do that. That's an awful responsibility to give to somebody else. Take that responsibility yourself and say, "I love myself, and I'm going to learn to love myself even more. And I'm going to learn how to take care of myself." You see, once we learn to love ourselves and learn to take care of ourselves, then we don't have to worry about the future. The future will take care of itself, and the money will be there to take care of you. To take care of you, because you know that you matter, and it will be there for you. But when you don't like yourself, you say, "Oh, what the heck, I don't care, let it go, I'm not worth it, no one thinks I'm worth it." Maybe nobody does, but why would you want to listen to their opinion? Why wouldn't you want to listen to your own opinion? You have to become your own authority in life. You have to become your own authority in life and not put that outside of yourself or allow anybody else to become the authority. You know yourself better than anybody else. And therein lies the problem, because you can see your dark side. You can see all those little things that you think are wrong with you. Don't do that. Look at all the wonderful things that are right with you. When you focus on what's right with you, what's good with you, it grows and it overshadows all those other little things. And we all think that we're the only ones who have that. Everyone has that. Just don't focus on it. Focus on the good qualities about you. Bring out the good qualities about you. And that will change your life. To sit around and put yourself down, or to start to pity yourself in any way, is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not fun, number one. And where is it going to get you? Way down there, into what we call depression. Into what we call depression. And who wants to be depressed? No one. And your choice is, you don't have to be. And I don't care what race mind says, that you have a right to be depressed because this happened to you, that happened to you. You're depressed because you're thinking about those things and you have not forgiven yourself. Or you have not forgiven the people around you. The whole key to life is learning to forgive yourself and everybody else instantly. Instantly. How many relationships do you know that they stay angry with each other 2 or 3 days? Then they decide to forgive themselves. Now, haven't they just wasted 2 or 3 days of their life when they could have been enjoying themselves, enjoying life? Because I know some people who've done that for 30 years, who have done that for 30 years or more. And you're wasting your life doing those things. And it's a little trick that the mind does to you. Because you start to think that you're your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Learn to use it. Learn to be able to tell it to shut up and to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Has anyone here had their mind recently tell them anything good about you? You have to train your mind to tell you something good about yourself. Because you're born into a conversation that's already going on. And the conversation that's already going on is telling you that you're not quite right. But you're not quite right. Don't allow your mind to do that. Don't allow your mind to do that. It's your thinking. It's doing everything to you. Thinking is the only cause on this plane of action. There's no other cause. Traffic doesn't cause anything. The economy doesn't cause anything. High prices at the pump do not cause anything. They just are. It's what you think about them and the value that you put on them that causes what's going on the inside of you. So you can always stay at peace. That's a choice that you have. And that's another wonderful gift that we were given. We can choose how we wish to feel. We can choose how we wish to feel. And we do that with thinking. We do that with thinking. And all the actors that come and go through here absolutely know that when they're on the stage, that they can produce any feeling by thinking. But they say, oh, that's just a play. Oh, that's just a play. I am here to tell you that you're in the most important play in your life. And that is your life. And your life is a play. Your life is a movie where you are the star, where you are the producer, where you are the director, where you are the writer. And if you don't like your life at the present moment, you sit down and you rewrite it. If you were directing a movie and it wasn't going the way you wanted and you didn't like it after you watched the dailies, you would call in a team of writers and they would rewrite it for you. And they would rewrite it for you. You have the power to do that with your own life. You rewrite it the way you want it to be. There was a wonderful book years ago, and I think it was called The Theater of the Mind. And that's what we're living in. The theater of the mind. And we are producing all this stuff. But our mind looks at it and tells us it's real. And tells us it's real. It is an illusion. It is an illusion. The only reality that there is God. The only reality that there is God. And if you can't grasp that, change God to love. The only true reality that there is love. Anything outside of that does not exist. It does not have a life of its own. You are giving it that life by putting your attention on it, by putting your focus on it, by putting your interest into it. When you withdraw that, it has to wither and die. But love never withers and dies. Never withers and dies. Behind all the illusions that you see is always love. Behind that, behind all the confusion and all the thoughts that are going on inside of your head, is peace. When you look at the sky and you see all the clouds, behind those clouds is always the blue sky. So behind all the illusion, there is always peace. And there is always love, because that's the only reality that there is. The rest that you're looking at is an illusion, and it is a movie that you are projecting on your mind. And your mind is telling you that it is real. Oh, this is real. I can feel it. It's real. It is not real. It is not. The body feels no pain. Only the mind feels pain. It's interpreted as a pain. But it's the mind that's causing the pain, not the body. The body has no causation of its own, people. The body has no causation of its own. If it had causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from it. And they don't do that, do they? There is no, yes. There is no causation in the body, only in the mind. So look out on your world, on the reality that you are creating. Look at the people that are in your life. Look at the situations that are in your life. If you like them, keep them. If you don't, sit down and rewrite your story. Rewrite your script. But rewrite it from the standpoint that you are worthy, you are deserving, you are totally lovable, and that you matter. When you do that, your life will change. Your life will change. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.